Batch, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What like outside of Canucks commute or Canucks Central at noon each and every day? What's the last 4 months been like for you?
Yeah, pretty quiet, but you know, nice to have some family time and, you know, reintroduce myself to my wife for a little bit here after all the travel we do during the season. But, you know, I would assume that my life has been much like many others where not a lot has been happening, but you know, excited that things are ramping up now, and we'll have games to analyze and broadcast here in the next few weeks.
Batch, where would you stand? I don't know if you heard us on our poll question. Do you not think because this is so unique that the actual Canucks might have a better shot at running the table here than they will next year when we get back to normalcy?
Yeah, actually, I saw the poll question. I would vote somewhere in between average and good, so maybe slightly above average chance this year. And you know, the reason for that is that this format is going to be so unpredictable that, you know, teams are going to be just getting back from, you know, essentially an off season, and having young players could really be a benefit to the Canucks in a situation like this. You know, guys like Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, we could see these guys come in and take big strides in terms of their game, like you normally would see a player do in an off season, where he comes back and you go, man, this guy, you know, has improved his skating, or his shot's a lot more effective, or you know, he just has a better understanding of the positioning he has to play within the team system, or whatever it might be. When you have young players, sometimes those strides can be very big over the course of an off season. And so when your core is all young players, there's a good chance that, you know, we see an even better Quinn Hughes than the defenseman we were seeing at the end of last year, see an even better Elias Pettersson. And then, of course, having young players in this is just going to benefit them in general, because after, you know, guys haven't been able to train necessarily at the same level that they would, there's going to be the risk of soft tissue injuries and things through training camp, and you would think that young players are set up better than others to get through that without any issues. So yeah, not to say that I'm sitting here calling the Canucks a Stanley Cup contender or anything, but this truly, more than any other year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, feels to me like a year where anything could happen.
Brendan Bachelor with us here on Sportsnet 650. Will this fan base accept getting beat by Minnesota, just in terms of, hey, you know what, you got a bit of a playoff rub, or do they need to get into the true 16 here?
This fan base will accept it only because there's that tantalizing 12.5% chance of the first overall pick there.
Yes.
But there should be an expectation that the Canucks can win this playoff series and should win this playoff series. And, you know, it will be good experience for these guys to get into those playoff games, play that five-game play-in series, regardless of whether they win or lose. But, you know, this is a team that has aspirations to go beyond just that play-in round. You know, Travis Green has said it in the past. He's not looking at these games as a, man, they're going to be a great experience for our young players. He's looking at them as games they can and should be expected to win. So that expectation will be set from within the dressing room. And, you know, with the young talent they have, you know, as compared to Minnesota, who is a very good team, but if you look at the way the teams are built, I would only give Minnesota the edge in terms of their defensive core. I would say the Canucks have the more potent forward group and the more consistent goaltending. So if you're giving the Canucks 2 out of 3 in terms of grading positionally how they rank against the Wild, then you have to say that they should probably be the favorites going into this series.
Brendan Batchelor joining us in the starting lineup this morning. Talking Canucks, Batch, you would have been on the call with Bo Horvat yesterday. He was questioned about Brock Besser and you know, with excitement, said he's, you know, he's nowhere near his ceiling. James and I got into it on the other hour about Besser's season. Expectations higher or not after signing the new deal. I think he became a better hockey player. You saw every minute of every shift that he took. What did you make of Brock Besser's season last year?
Yeah, I thought he was definitely a better hockey player. but not necessarily in the way that you would expect, because as a young guy who scored a lot, people are going to want goals from him after, you know, signing a new contract and things like that. But I thought he rounded out his game a lot more. I thought he was a lot more solid defensively, had a greater understanding of what he had to do everywhere on the ice, not just in the offensive zone. So that was good to see from a young player who's still growing. And, you know, I completely agree with what Bo Horvat said yesterday, mainly because we haven't seen Brock Besser at optimal health pretty much since the first half of his first year in the NHL. So there has to be more there, just because you hope that at some point this guy can get healthy and find some consistency and continue to help this team do well. And yet he's still found a way to continue to contribute on the score sheet, even when, you know, there have been nights where he doesn't stand out as much as he did in his rookie season. So,
but do you not find he's missing that dynamic element, Batch?
He is, yeah. It hasn't been there to the same extent that it was in that rookie season. And
before he got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, so the question is, can he find that again? Or maybe does that sit out well in our memory because of the fact that there wasn't a whole lot else happening with that Canuck team that year, right?
Exactly.
Like, if you remember that season, Brock Besser was the reason to buy tickets. He was the reason to come to the rink. Not a lot else good was happening with that team that season. Since then, they've added Pettersson, they've added Hughes, they've improved as a team. But, you know, I agree. There was that feeling, and, you know, I even had it in the booth calling games that first year, that when Brock Besser got the puck on his stick in an optimal area in the offensive zone, the puck was going in.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been that level of consistency in his offensive game since. But, you know, it doesn't mean that he can't find it again, and that's why I think there's, you know, more to come from him. And, you know, I talked about Pettersson and Hughes when talking about young players that could have taken big strides in their game during this, you know, four-month pause here. Well, Besser's a guy that certainly fits into that as well, and also has had a chance to get a little bit more healthy here from, you know, being able to rest and not be playing playoff games in April and May when the Stanley Cup playoffs would have normally got underway.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those guys that I think expectations were so big because he was the story for a long time. What do you do with Michael Ferland? Do you play him? Do you slot him into almost see what you have going into next year? I mean, there's no free passes. This team played fine without him. Or is he, because you don't know what he's going to be like until you bump and grind. And I don't know how hard you want to do that during training camp. How do you see his situation playing out?
Yeah, it's I don't envy Travis Green for some of the decisions he's going to have to make, especially in that bottom six forward group, because, you know, you can pretty well write in the six defensemen with, you know, one decision about whether you're going to play Jordy Benn and Oscar Fantenberg. You can pretty well write in the top six, maybe tweaking whether it's going to be Besser on the Pettersson line or Toffoli on the Pettersson line. But that bottom six, there's so many different you know, combinations and permutations that you could throw together to have those lines. And Michael Ferland is a wild card coming into this because he hasn't really been able to consistently play in a Canuck uniform yet. So, you know, you would worry about him getting hurt again, but at the same time, if he's cleared and he's available, you have to consider him a legitimate option to go into the lineup, especially seeing as he is a guy that Vancouver fans know very well. His game is well suited to playoff hockey. So, you're right, you can't necessarily bump and grind as hard as you normally would through training camp, but I would imagine the Canucks will have some scrimmages, so you want him to be at least a little bit tested in that regard. And then, you know, you get into the exhibition games that these teams are going to play, and you say to him, you know, you've got to go out there and show that you can be physical, and not that you want him running around trying to take people's heads off and not focusing on his game and trying to fight people and things like that. But you know, Michael Ferland has something to prove here coming into this camp, and that's, you know, in my mind, if I was Michael Ferland, that's how I'd be looking at it, is my spot on those bottom two lines is not guaranteed at all. And really, for anyone in that forward group that isn't on those top two lines, you could very well be a healthy scratch. So you've got to come into training camp and compete for spots like you would if it was a normal season and you're filling up in September.
Hard not to imagine Louis Erickson being on the outside looking in for that roster, I think, based on that point. Brandon Batchelor with us here on Sportsnet 650. You know, I love bringing it back to wrestling. And, Batch, you know what? You're one of the few people at this place that can fully appreciate that someone like me will bring it back to wrestling. But isn't this the perfect dance partner for the Canucks? I mean, kind of the young upstart team against kind of the grizzled veteran team like the Minnesota Wild. It really is an ideal kind of playoff matchup here for the young Canucks to try to figure out, you know, if you're for real about trying to push forward, you got to get through this sort of savvy veteran here who brings all this experience like the Wild.
Yeah, it does set up well in that regard for sure.
It's a good story.
It is, and it's going to be a compelling series because, you know, as much as we talk about the young up-and-coming Canuck team, you know, this Minnesota Wild team won't be a pushover by any means. You know, I would be more surprised if this series is a sweep either way than if it goes to five games, just because, well, A, in the COVID era, everything is impossible to predict with this Stanley Cup playoff. So I have no idea what's going to happen in any of the series, except maybe Edmonton, Chicago, and Pittsburgh, Montreal, but even those teams have a chance to upset. So yeah, it's a good test for the Canucks. It's a good test of how far their young players have come. First chance for these guys to be, you know, thrown into the fire in playoff hockey. And, you know, it's certainly going to be different because of all the circumstances around it and no fans in the stands and everything like that. But, yeah, you know, that the Minnesota Wild have a number of players that have lots of playoff experience, have been there before, understand what it takes to win in must-win scenarios and must-win games. And, you know, Bo Horvat touched on this on his call yesterday. The Canucks don't have that experience at the NHL level, but, you know, they have guys who have won at other levels of hockey and do understand what it means to have to ramp your game up a little bit when things get going. Now, the Stanley Cup playoffs are likely to be unlike any animal that someone like Brock Besser or Quinn Hughes or Elias Pettersson have faced to this point in their career. But it is a good test. It is a good first opportunity for them to experience that. And, you know, we're going to learn a lot about how far this team has come by how they're able to do against the Wild and potentially beyond that.
About some people texting in, 650, 650, joining the conversation. One person asking a couple things, and I don't know what you can tell us, what we know. One wondering how many exhibition games that a team would get to play, and also wondering how, from a media perspective, things will be covered. I mean, you travel with this team all the time. I don't think there's that kind of openness, obviously. They're asking, you know, how games will be called. What can you tell us? What do you know about broadcast situations and or exhibition games?
Yeah, so as I understand it, and I don't know if this has been confirmed or not, but there were reports throughout this process at one point that each team would get two exhibition games. So that's, you know, the last I heard, that's what I would expect. Whether that has been confirmed or not, I'm not sure. But so you would expect the Canucks get at least one, potentially two exhibition games. And yeah, we're still trying to figure out what things will look like from a broadcast standpoint. You know, there hasn't been anything confirmed 100% either way yet, but, you know, with them wanting to keep the bubble as tight as it can be, there's a good chance that Hershey and I are not in Edmonton. And in that case, we would be watching the game on a monitor here in the studio in Vancouver and calling the game that way, which is something that, you know, I did it as a kid growing up just for fun when I was, you know, imagining that I could be a play-by-play guy one day. You know, you mute the game on the TV and do the play-by-play. But it's not something I've had the opportunity to do in my professional career yet, so it's going to present an interesting challenge if indeed that is the way we're calling games.
Batch, can you at least confirm with us, Judd Brackett's not suiting up for the Wild in this series, right?
Yes, that is correct. And, right. You know, it's not going to have any tangible impact on the series. Is Judd Brackett landing in Minnesota? It's just sort of, you know, one of those funny things that, you know, could only happen to the Canucks, where, of course, he's going to the team that you're facing in the first round.
Yes, and I can just you know, I'll serve it up to you guys. If the Canucks do win, either you or Shorty can take this call. Like, they slayed the bracket. They slay, or man, how about busted the bracket? They busted the bracket. Yes, how about that, Bash? It's all yours.
Yeah, there you go. It's the Judd Bracket Revenge Series.
The Bracket Bowl. Thank you for this. Nice to catch up with you, sir, and great job.
Thanks, boys. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Batch.
All right.
Yep.